Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Diana Amft had her breakthrough with one of her first film roles and has never looked back. The actress excelled in comedies such as Girls on Top, the much-lauded and award-winning Doctor's Diary, or Kreumann, and shines equally in dramatic roles such as the series Days That Never Were, which just finished shooting its second season. Diana has also established herself as a best-selling children's book author with her book series Die kleine Spinne widerlich. In this episode, it's all about her terrific comedic talent and some of her wonderful comedic roles. We talked to Diana via video call for this interview. Diana, welcome to Deep Dive Genre. It's such a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure for me as well.
Who better to talk about comedy than you? Because let's just tell it like it is, you are a comedy queen. When you received the award for Best Actress in a Comedy Series at the Monte Carlo TV Festival, fellow nominees were Tina Fey and Steve Carell, the latter of which won the award in the actor category, and you won 3 German Comedy Awards as well. And you've trained with Groundlings LA, which is no small feat because comedy acting in a second language is quite a thing. We talked about your terrific talent for comedic timing in our last podcast conversation, and this time I want to dig a little bit deeper. Can you tell us a bit about your actor journey in regards to comedy?
Well, so in the cinema, it started out actually with a few teenage comedies. Mädchen, Mädchen, I think international title is Girls on Top, and Knallharte Jungs. I think the international title is more Ants in the Pants. Anyhow, it was teenage
probably.
Those were classical teenage comedies in those days. I mean, we are talking about like 25 years ago. It was really a lot of fun because I really enjoy playing comedy, to be honest. And if it's a good script, I really have fun shooting it the whole time. I mean, me personally, I love laughing as well. Yeah, and it's always a challenge because, as we all know, comedy is also like a lot of work because it's about timing and milliseconds. Yeah, and I always love to take the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Was that also the time when you realized you had a talent for it, or did that come a little bit later?
To be honest, it actually came earlier because it wasn't really me who realized it, because it was an acting school. It was the director of the acting school, and she always wanted to see me in parts being funny, even though it was Shakespeare,
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, Midsummer Night's Dream. Thank you so much. I was playing Puck. Yeah, and then she always wanted to see me in like comedy parts, introduced me to a director and theater as well, who had like a comedy theater in Munich. Mm-hmm. And there I was in a play from Agatha Christie, Witness for the Prosecution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's a small part. I was love and rest in the end. It was enough for me at that time because I was just in my second year acting school and mm-hmm. I was so, so nervous. And then in theater, someone came up to me and said, like, could you imagine also to act in front of camera? And I was like, let me think about it. Yes. I was totally excited. And then he pretended to be my agent, because in those days, you have to imagine, it's really, really long ago. There was no internet and stuff. So you mm-hmm. really had to apply per videotape and all
wow.
stuff. I had nothing recorded. So it was a hard, tough thing, but he totally believed in me. And he got me to several castings, and then it really started out with main parts, yeah, which I totally appreciate. I was very, really lucky. Yeah, and then it happened that it got such a big audience with comedy.
Okay, because I mentioned Groundlings earlier. How do you hone your comedy craft, or is that even possible, or is it more of you either have it or you don't have it?
To be honest, without sounding arrogant, I think it's actually really either you have it or you don't. I think it's more about the experience mm-hmm. You have. You learn to play with it a little bit more. I mean, if I go back to the example on theater, it was like this play was shown over 90 times.
Yeah.
and then after, I think like around the 40th or 50th time we played it, you could play with the reactions of the audience. You found out, okay, here I can take a little longer and like get a little bit more. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. You don't have the opportunity in film for sure. But I think through the experience over years and years, you know how to.
I know this might be a little bit of a basic question, but what do you like about the comedy genre? You mentioned that you like to laugh personally, but is there anything else?
I really love to laugh a lot, and I think it's a really good way to feel entertained. I really feel like by a good comedy, I enjoyed so much laughing about it and feeling like a little bit taken away in a kind of story or like in a lighter atmosphere around me.
Mm-hmm. And I also think comedy can be a comment still, you know, on like social issues or other issues, but in a, as you mentioned, in a really light way, and it can make you laugh about yourself and about others.
Yes. That's actually really a really, really great medicine for your soul.
Yeah.
If you're able to laugh about yourself. Sometimes I think like, you know, if I do weigh like a few pounds more or less, I feel like, yeah, so what? At the moment, I'm big in business. So something like that, you know, it's like, so because the most important thing is that you're healthy and have fun.
Yeah.
And it's actually so helpful in so many situations to see it with a kind of humor. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's often a poo-pooed kind of genre because people say, oh, it's easy. But I think it's actually quite hard to find the right tone and humor for comedy stories. And you've acted in comedy in a different language. Would you describe good comedy as mainly a timing issue? Is it because it can feel like a really great dance, I think.
I thought when I was in America that it was a different sense of humor, a little bit, slightly different. And it also like the work with comedy was pretty different to German comedy. And that was also one of the reasons why I wanted to study at the Groundlings, because this is like a very renowned school where people like Lisa Kudrow or Will Ferrell started out. I do have the feeling that in America, comedy is really on a different level than in Germany. For example, the Groundlings, first line, like an improv theater. Mm-hmm. They do have strict rules compared to Germany. So if you're, for example, you come on stage and somebody says, well, sister, I was looking for you, whatever, where are you? And then you're not allowed to deny it somehow. You have to accept that your sister, and I'm saying, what are you talking about? I'm your mother. So that's, for example, it's not allowed.
Okay.
And they also do have strict rules about like, I don't know if you call it like under the belt humor, because they say it's a cheap way to try to make people laugh about that. And it's intellectual, not, the challenge we want to reach. Mm-hmm. And this was really interesting. And it was also like hard because you always like you came in so many situations where you felt like, okay, that will be now the easy way, but let's try to find another way. And they always called it the gray zone, that you really don't know what's happening while you're acting, to avoid that you come on stage and have your perfect play in your head. And no matter what those people around you are saying, you just focus on your thing. And this is not possible at all if you follow the rules.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about a few of your films and series. And we've, for obvious reason, have chosen Doctor's Diary.
Yeah.
Weißes Rössel, and also Kreumann, which is a series that you've had a couple of guest spots. Can you give us a bit of background how important cast or casting and dialogue were for those specific projects?
Yes, for sure. And compliments, you really chose the perfect examples for it, because the dialogues were just amazing. And I guess the world knows that I'm a huge fan also for Bora Daktekin. Yeah. And as well as like the authors of Kreumann and Weiße Rössel. Yeah, it's a huge talent to write good dialogue. That's really what my opinion is. That if you have a great script, a great cast, I think you can tell hours and hours just filming under a table and you feel entertained. So people out there, you can save a lot of money if you just concentrate on great dialogues and great cast.
Exactly. And then all you need is a table.
All you need is a table. And for sure, it's so important, because if you have dialogue which is not funny, I mean, if I would be able to have that talent to make it funny, then with any dialogue, and then I don't know, I would probably have a business aside and do this as well. But yeah, no, for sure. Like, a lot of compliments always go out to the authors and directors, for sure.
Yeah. And the casters.
Yes. And the casters, not to forget about them. Yeah. Seriously. Yes. They were the ones who gave me the first chance when I couldn't show reel or anything or nothing. They believed in me and gave me the chance to get me, represented, for sure. All the casters. There are a lot of them were like personally a lot, but I guess they know who I mean. But to be honest, it's every caster I was in contact with gave me the chance to show something. So, I hope to see you all soon again.
Yeah, because I talked to Iris Baumüller.
Yes, she's one of the cool ones, yes.
Yeah, and she's actually just casting for Borat Akdakin's newest film. And she says there's not even a script yet. So they're sort of meeting and talking, and it's a work in progress. And I thought, oh my God, I mean, that's especially if it is a comedy again, as far as I know, that must be really tricky, you know, if you have hardly anything to go on.
I just started yesterday. I mean, Bora said it himself, I think, on a trade show or something on Instagram, that he has already 7 pages. No, say hi to Bora and say hi to Iris.
That changes everything.
If Bora would ever call me again, I don't even have to read the script. I would scream yes, for sure, because he's really one of the most talented ones out there.
Yeah. Can you tell us, or take us through, one or two of your favorite scenes from those films or series, and give our listeners some behind the scenes background, what made them particularly funny or maybe even difficult to shoot?
So just mentioning Bora, coming back to Doctor's Diary, there were so many situations where we really had to try hard not to laugh. Mm-hmm. And especially with Florian David Fitz, it's like we had so many situations where we had to repeat the scene. I mean, which is actually a good sign, but as we know, you shouldn't be the one who's laughing. You should make the people laugh. But I do remember like one scene, it was not in a comedy series, it was in a normal TV movie shooting on Mallorca years ago. Yeah, I think it's so much information already that I won't mention any names. But there was one situation where we had so much fun shooting the whole movie. We made fun of a special, I mean, we talked about a special scene coming up the next day. And there was like one colleague of ours when we had so much fun. It was not behind his back. He was just not there. But it was like, so, imagine, I guess he or she would play it like that. Whatever. It was a compliment, because you saw already so much. And then the whole gang of my colleagues was appearing the next day watching.
Oh no.
And I was like, guys, you just gotta really go now. It's like, really, I don't know. It was a kind of an insider, but it was horrible. It was exactly the situation, remembers in school, where the teacher says, like, where you're really not allowed to laugh at all. And nobody is getting why you're laughing. And it's not, it was so, so, so embarrassing. It was so hard to get over it until the director realized that it had to do with those people who came to visit me. Mm-hmm. Said they were all in the movie. They're throwing them out. But it was like, so, yeah, that was a weird situation. I will just never forget. And I have no idea if it comes across funny now. I think this is one of the situations where you have to be part of it. And comedy is always a challenge. That's the best sign if you find it funny as well.
Making a feature film or a series can take up several years. It's not always as fast as with Tage, Nies, Nigab. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to a character that you spend so much time with?
For me, it is especially a serious character, for sure. I spend a lot of time with cinema movie. It's more the director and author, in first line, the author, who spends a lot of time with his characters. Yeah, now I do have to mention Doctor's Diary again. To say goodbye to Gretchen is like, I miss her. I do miss her, but I do miss all the characters around her. I would love to know what Mark Meyer is doing in those days, and how they are, and how the family situation is. Yeah, and if they still get along, or do have their like wars, because now they all got 10 years older, and it's a different step in life. And something like this. Yes, this is especially a character I have to think of a lot, but it's for sure it was also a very special character for me in those days. And yeah,
yeah.
It was like, I think from 2007 to 2010, if I'm mm-hmm. not wrong. It was also a long time, even though it was just 24 episodes. But in those days, you had still a lot of shooting days per episode. And mm-hmm. it was always a very intensive time. Yes, and the whole crew and we all had fun. I don't know if I told you in my last podcast with you, but there was always a situation. I mean, we spent so much time together. Also, besides the set, we always used to love to play games in the evening, sometimes at the weekends, when we all spent our time in Berlin and nobody went back home. And this was always under the motto, until someone is crying, because at some point it was always a disaster,
but hopefully crying from laughter.
No, really fighting, kind of like really kind of like fighting. Yeah, having discussions and saying like when we like went on Monday back to the set again, and in the morning at the catering, nobody's talking to each other. And then the caterer says, oh, no, did you play games over the weekend again? So it's really kind of the running gag. Even though it was not so often, but when it was, then it was really always very intensive.
I see.
Yeah, there are like a lot of funny anecdotes, but I think therefore we would have to invite the others as well, so that
okay,
everybody can defend themselves, like Bora and Florian. And me, please.
We'll start planning that. Is there an anniversary coming up, maybe? A Doctor's Diary anniversary? I'll start checking on that.
Yes, please. It's every time it's an anniversary, to be honest. The fan base is amazing. It's really still so, so huge. I mean, I can see it since I am on social media, which is not too long. I get tagged almost every day with like a story about Doctor's Diary or like a message, and which is really great and amazing. And greetings to all those people I can't respond because it's just so many.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I mentioned before, you recently finished filming season 2 of Tage, die es nie gab. And you're also a successful writer of children's books. Can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming plans or projects? Whatever you can tell us, we'll be happy to have.
Yeah, so compared to our last podcast, now it's official that we shot Tage, die es nicht gab, and it's coming out, I assume, at some point this year, because now we have the beginning of the year, and I assume, I don't have any official appointments yet, but I guess mm-hmm. it will be coming out this year. End of February, there's a release of a children's movie mm-hmm. called Ein Mädchen namens Willow.
Is it a cinema or a TV?
Cinema, and it's in distribution of Constantin Film as well.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I was lucky to have like a little guest part in there, and it's really cute. This is a movie like, especially like for children, but for the whole family, which I could mention. And then there is still the cinema movie also getting released this year, but I don't have release dates yet. It's called Alt Weiber Sommer, mm-hmm. which I was shooting in Austria and Italy. Mm. At 1.5 years ago, and it's coming to the cinemas. And around Easter, I do have a new children's book release from the Kleine Spinne Widerlich, Little Spider Called Yaki. It's genau, where the little sibling of the spider is coming to the kindergarten. Yeah, I mean, this is it.
Well, that's a lot.
After we finish our podcast, I will give Bora a call. No, just kidding. I think he...
Or maybe Iris Baumüller.
Iris Baumüller. Yeah, and I have the pleasure to be in your podcast this year again.
Yes. And we're at the end, which is far too soon.
No, really? Seriously? Again, already? No, really? Time flies. This is really amazing.
I know. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Diana. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. It was such a pleasure. It's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for everybody who's interested in all of Diana's projects, they will be listed in the show notes with links and everything, so you can check everything out.
And thank you so much for listening. I say hi to everyone. Three, two.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.